Peter, over in the fifth chapter. Over in the fifth chapter there, the place of humility is a place of blessing and the place where we come to the Lord in prayer. Notice verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The humbling and then the lifting up. The humbling comes first. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The verse we're looking at tonight is here in verse number 7. A little verse with a big meaning and a big thought that's so important for us all to get hold of. We do see, however, that many believers do not practice what is taught in this beautiful verse and in this principle of casting your care upon the Lord. And look what it says there. We're reminded that the Lord cares for us. He cares for us. Individuals, we're of more value than the little sparrows, even, the Bible says. We're more valuable to God than anything else, and he loves us and he cares about his children. And he has given us this wonderful way and mechanism of dealing with life's issues, life's stresses, life's burdens, life's anxieties, the things that come along, the trials and testings, the suffering that may come. All of these things, God has a way for us to deal with them, and a way that we might be relieved of the stress and pressure of these things, so that we can walk in victory and be a blessing. So we have the principle here of the importance of submitting ourselves to the Lord and humbling ourselves before God, having the right attitude that we might come to him and cast our care upon him. Life is full of trials and testings, and there are many things that trouble us and causes anxiety. Casting all your care, this is the word anxiety, the things that come along in our lives, the fears that we might have, the different things that we face, or the things that we may fear that we face, those things that may never come, but yet we worry about them, don't we? We worry about them. And my mother-in-law was in nursing home, and she seemed very anxious, and we were telling her, "Mum, don't worry about it." She was very unwell and in the nursing home and wanted to go home to be with the Lord. She was at the end of the trail, as it were. And we said, "Mum, don't worry." And although she hadn't spoken, said hardly a word, she said, "But I do. I worry, 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 worry." That's all she said. And at the last words that she spoke before the Lord took her home to glory, she just wanted to pack up the tent and move on to the glory land. So she had her cares and her worries, although she didn't need to. So many times we're that way, aren't we? But we should bring them all, the Bible says, casting all your care. Where do we cast them? Upon the Lord, knowing that he is able to take them, to carry them, and to deal with them. move them out of the way and guide us on to the next steps in our lives so we can cast our care upon Him. Know that God is able to take care of them all. I like that old hymn we sang there, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Dear old writer, Mr. Luther, was going through terrible trials, and the king of Germany took him in and protected him because the Catholics and others wanted to do him in. And he discovered the fortress in God, that he could take everything and know that God is mighty, powerful, able to protect, able to save and to keep and to bless his children no matter what the circumstances are. What are your cares? Face them. Face them properly. Don't just let them drag on and fester on and hold you down and hold you back. Cast them upon the Lord. Now, this is the word that we're going to spend a bit of time with tonight. This word cast, it's an interesting word in the original language. And then we have other words that go along with it, that partner up with it, that help us with this particular matter of dealing with our anxieties. And the first one that we note here, this casting, means to hurl upon. Now, when you do that, you've got something you want to hurl. You want to get it away, don't you? So you're hurling it, all right? And we notice with these different words that we look at, they're not designed to take it back. It's parting with it, getting rid of it. And that's how we do it. We cast it upon the Lord. We hurl it upon Him, as it were. And sometimes that may require a bit of energy to pull it out from where it's stuck, where it's digging in, you know, and just pull it out and give it to the Lord. Sometimes there's a real spiritual battle over that, over different areas of anxiety and different things in our lives. And there's a real spiritual battle goes on. The devil doesn't want you to get rid of it. He wants you to keep revisiting it, you know, and it keep knocking you down, making you feel miserable and causing you to doubt the Father's care and His watchfulness in the situation. So we are to drag it out and to cast it, to hurl it upon the Lord. In Luke chapter 19, verse 35, you don't need to turn there, but when they wanted to bring the Lord wanted to be transported, to move into Jerusalem. And he entered Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. Oh, he didn't come on the great white stallion like kings rode and their great huge entourage. Rather, he said, "I have need of that baby ass," as it were. Crazy animals they are. But the Lord had need of it, and it obeyed the Lord's needs and was given. But what they did, they cast garments on the animal. Different ones took off their outer robes and cast them on the animal so that the Lord could ride on in there in His glory of humility. So they cast those things upon the colt, never expecting to receive them back, not wanting them to come back, but just putting them there for the Master's use. Putting them there for the Master. Putting them to the Master's use and His care. And so I suggest that we should be doing that with our anxieties, our worries, our burdens, our care, whatever you call them, our projects, whatever they might be. Hurl them upon the Lord. It may require some energy to do so and to really get down to the matter of prayer. This obviously is what happens when we pray.
or what is supposed to happen when we pray. We take things and we hurl them on the Lord with great energy and zeal to give them to Him. Because you find that when you give them to Him, He can run the show a lot better than you can. Oh, amen. Just give them to Him and discover how He can work them through, how He can work them out, or even how He can make them absolutely disappear. I've had that. You know, things that sometimes the pastor has a problem, some problem people. Give it to the Lord. It's amazing how He can do it. And hurl it upon Him with great energy and strength, if necessary, to get rid of it and get it on the Lord. Second one is an interesting one. And when Jesus said in Matthew 21:13 recorded, Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." Have a look at that in Matthew 21:13. You may want to underline it. "My house shall be called the house of prayer." This was so different to what the temple was being used for at the time. There was all sorts of transactions going on, people trying to buy their forgiveness and buy their way and climb the social ladder and their business ladder. They were using the house of God and there was no prayer going on. "My house shall be called the house of prayer." Now, this word translated here, prayer, is a word that means to pour out or to pour upon. So the house of God was to be a place where God's people pour out their burdens, their anxieties on the Lord in prayer, humbly going before the Lord and just casting it and pouring it out upon Him. A house of prayer, a house of pouring. Pour it out. Now again, the picture here is when you pour something out on the ground, you don't imagine that you're picking it up and taking it back. You're putting it out there. You're putting it out there and you are not supposed to be taking it back. Okay? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? That's what prayer is supposed to be about. But what do we find ourselves doing? Trying to go back with our muck rake and mull over it, as Christian says, and trying to get it somehow, deal with it, not give it up and not part with it. That's what we need to be doing with our anxieties, just pouring them out upon the Lord, our hearts open and with tears even, just to give it to Him, just to unload it, just to get it out. The reason why people are suffering anxiety and all sorts of things and going to doctors for help and all the rest of it is because they're not doing this. They don't know how to pray. The unsaved, they don't know how to pray. But for us who are believers, we should understand that prayer and our anxieties should be all about pouring them upon Him. The Lord's never weary of them. He's never overfilled with things. He's ready to receive and to take what we pour out upon Him. We leave it with Him and unload it and ask Him to bless. And then, of course, with that unloading is a praying for God's blessing and leading and for wisdom to know what to do. So, indeed, we must cast our cares upon Him. We need to pour them out upon the Lord and not to take them back. The next one that is interesting when it comes to casting that is described in the scriptures, this casting, is described as fusing. Fusing. In 1 Kings 7:37, there are things that are fused together there. There's things for the temple melted down, fused onto something else. And we don't need to go there, but that's the thought of it there, is fusing it, something upon. Casting is fusing it upon. Now, making casts these days and so on with metal, you're melting it, you're getting it into liquid form and you're pouring it into some kind of mould and you are making something, or else you are putting something upon something and it's fusing and sticking to that. And that's the same with our prayer, with our casting. We should be putting it upon God and seeing it as stuck there and going away without it. It's on the Lord. The Lord's taking it. The Lord is taking up our cause and dealing with this. So here is an interesting thought on casting. It is fusing it upon God. Something fused upon God. So we see it hurling it upon him, as it were, even with force and zeal, pouring out as we pour out our heart upon the Lord. It is then giving it to him and visualizing by faith that it's fused upon the Lord and it's his situation. He's going to deal with it. He's going to take care of it. And we can leave it at that and move forward in our Christian life, not taking it with us. No, when we come to the cross to be saved, we come with a burden of sin. We put it upon the Lord Jesus and we see that he has died for that. He carried all our transgressions and sins upon his own body on the tree, and the precious blood was poured out to cover and to cleanse away that sin. So it's wonderful that we can do that with our sin, our anxieties, our concerns, our problems. All of those things can be dealt with in that way. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 is another thing here, that another illustration here of prayer, if you like, in Hebrews 12, 1. Hebrews 12:1, the great teaching in this chapter on looking to Jesus, follows the great chapter on faith. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So this casting is to do with the idea of laying it aside, laying it aside, every weight and the sin. Confessing it, giving it to the Lord, putting it upon him, not picking it up again. The devil says, oh, there you go again. There you go again. You've done it again. Well, God is ready and willing to forgive. He's merciful, compassionate. But he wants us to lay it aside. And that first begins in the heart and soul. Repentance identifies the sin and says, I'm done with it. Turning away, laying this upon the Lord, and going on in the way of victory. Run with patience the race that is set before us, not carrying those loads and taking them with us, slowing us down, dragging us back, discouraging us in the way. No, this is something that we need to practice, isn't it? To lay it aside. Lay it aside. It's no good to you. It's no help to you. You're not going to win carrying it with you. So lay it aside. Take up your cross and follow him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne. Give it to the Lord, the victorious one, the Saviour who reigns from the throne. Lay it aside. Look unto Jesus. Move forward by faith. By faith. And this is all only possible by faith. We do not hurl our anxieties upon him unless we believe that he is a great God and that he's able to carry them and take them and deal with them, move them away, take them out of our lives and move us on to future things. It's so important to have that faith, to believe God. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. God created out of nothing. He is a great and mighty God. Therefore, you can give him your cares and anxieties. He will take them and deal with them. He is the victorious creator and Lord of all. And then it goes on to talk about these great men that did great exploits. I have no doubt that these men had their worries, their cares. Noah had the plan to build a huge ark. What a job. He'd never done that before. He had never seen rain before. But now he was called upon to build this huge boat. I don't know about you, but if you're loaded down with a big project, anxiety comes, doesn't it? What about this? What about that? Your mind begins to run ahead into all the things. Then it begins to look at what could go wrong. The anxiety levels can develop. But Mr. Noah trusted God by faith, being warned of God. The flood was going to come. Warned of God, needed to build this for the saving of souls. 8 souls were saved back then by the man of God who trusted God by faith. Look at verse 6. Remember this, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, faith pleases God. Humility and faith please God, so that when we're casting our care upon him, he sees our heart, he sees our faith, he sees us in our need. And God honors and blesses faith. And faith is able to do great things, and that's what this chapter 11 is all about. It describes faith in terms of the great things that they did in God's will, and the blessings that came through those things as they trusted the Lord. Imagine if Noah had gotten tangled up. Day one, plans. How am I going to do this? What's this mean, you know? I'm sure that some of you have, maybe you've done flat pack and you've started to read the instructions. Oh, as you know, I love flat pack. Maybe you have a complex project or something that you are building. I'm glad that I never had to work on roofs. I had no balance. I'm glad of that. But, you know, imagine if Noah had stumbled and gotten full of anxiety and began to say what often we say when we're full of anxiety, I can't do it. I just can't do it. That's all there is to it. No good even trying. You heard that before. So, what do we do? Let that thing become a roadblock to the project or to what we should do? The will of God sometimes leads us through difficult paths, gives us some difficult projects. God brings along some unsaved heathen too that can be difficult to deal with, and we can give it to the Lord. And we require faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So all this casting, this hailing upon, this pouring out, this fusing upon, this laying aside, all requires faith. Believe God. God is greater than all of our problems and difficulties. He's not overcome of them. He's not worrying about it, fussing and fuming. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. And he can move mountains in order to accomplish his purpose. So all requires faith. The second thing that it requires is an understanding of the greatness of God. His ability to bear our burdens. His ability to answer. and to do great and mighty things. He created the heaven and earth. Surely we can trust him to deal with our little problem, our little anxiety. And we ought to give it to him. How foolish we are to hold on to it when the creator of the universe is right there, available, just a prayer away. Well, when we say that, we don't mean, you know, oh, we'll just have a quickie to Jesus. No, we mean that we can. This requires, I think, a seriousness of heart. It's not just a quick prayer we're talking about. We are talking about dealing with a matter of an anxiety, dealing with it thoroughly, and putting it upon the Lord so that we're finished praying. When we're finished praying, we can go away and get on with the will of God and God's purpose in our lives. So with that, understanding God, we must understand the cross work of Christ and the precious blood that purchased our salvation, and proceed with great confidence in our God and in the work of Calvary. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, to move forward with that assurance of faith and that knowledge of God's involvement. We can think of God's depths and God's greatness and God's mercy, God's ability to forget. Knowing God is essential in dealing with these things. And that happens over time as we learn to walk with God, as we see what God has done in his word. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And just trust him. Just trust him. You think, well, my problem, my anxiety is over a problem that nobody else has ever seen before. Hello. They're common to man, amen? And somehow, when we can get into the middle of it, we get that feeling, don't we? We're in the middle of it, and sometimes we don't know quite. And we're a bit too proud to go to pastor about it and have a prayer time. And we really ought to. So it is that we need to realise the greatness and power of God, God's interest in our individual needs, God's love and God's mercy. There was a certain evangelist just after the Second War who was called to have some meetings in Japan and in Tokyo. The evangelist arrived in Tokyo. Remember, this is the country that's been hit by two atomic bombs. There's atomic radiation everywhere and all sorts of things. People's eyes glowing, you know. Give you some anxiety, wouldn't it, getting around among that? And so the evangelist was to have meetings and to firstly encourage the Christians. And seeing that they were so down and crestfallen and heavy with the anxiety, the hopes of their nation had been dashed. Everything had been that they had been pumped up to do from by the devil come to nothing, and they were down. And for God's people, it was a terrible time, a very difficult time. So the evangelist thought, well, how will I be a blessing to these people? They're obviously full of anxieties and worries, full of the disappointments and all in their lives. They're in a bad way. So the evangelist thought, well, I know, I'm going to do an object talk. So the evangelist loaded up a case, a suitcase, with heavy objects. And when the evangelist comes into the meeting, dragging this suitcase along, it was heavy and by intention, and gradually began to talk about giving our anxieties to the Lord. And we would take something out of the case and put it on a table which represents giving it to the Lord. So the pride and all the different sin and different things and unbelief, all the rest of the things, all part of the anxiety, gradually were taken out of the case. And the illustration was this. Picked up the case, walked around, no longer in heaviness. Those things have been taken out. And that's what we do in prayer. We give our anxieties to the Lord. And that heaviness is gone. So, evangelist closes in prayer. The people are fellowshipping around. Evangelist begins to pick up all the heavy objects and put them back in the case and struggle out of the hall with the case. Years later, that evangelist met up with a Japanese man who became a prominent leader and evangelist. Pastor met up with him at a meeting unexpectedly, and he said, "I remember you when you came to Tokyo and you did the case illustration." "Oh, great. What do you remember about the case illustration?" "You know, casting it on the Lord. I remember when you took the case and you put all those weights back in the case and then you struggled out of the hall with it." And he said, "God spoke to me about that." That's how we often are. We give it to the Lord, we take it back and put it back in the case. So brothers and sisters, it's not wise to do that, is it? And so we come back to this wonderful scripture that reminds us to cast all our cares upon him. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What are you going through at the moment? He cares for you. He wants to carry that load. He wants to free you to walk in victory and liberty. But you must cast it upon him and leave it with him. Let's pray.